Yes, guys, what's good? You tuned into Mango Masala. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Halima.
Hey, everyone.
But not Simran. She is at a wedding.
Carlos can tell you the exact address of where Simran is right now.
Well, this is the thing. We were just looking on Vine Friends because me and Simran have each other on it. And then Halima's like, what? Why do you have each other on Vine Friends?
Yeah, I'm not for it. Apparently, Carlos and Simran are like quite for having your friends on Find Your Friends, but I just don't. Like, I think it will make sense if you know me. Like, I hate being surveilled. Mm. Like, for me, that is surveillance. Like, yeah. That is Big Brother. Like, why are you watching me? You don't need to know where I am. You don't need to keep tabs on me. I don't like it.
No.
And I've never shared with anyone. I think I shared with one friend, Laura, shout out. I think I unshared it after a while. And even that was, like, for a purpose, that like, she needed my location for something. Mm. And then I realised it was on there for a while, and I just unshared it. I don't think I share with anyone, actually, which probably, do you know what? I do think maybe you need to have a designated person just for safety reasons.
Yeah, like it can definitely be a useful thing, but it can also be an overbearing thing.
For me, yes, that's how I feel.
For me, I don't know. Like, to be honest, I didn't really use it that much up until around like 10 years ago, which I think it'd only probably been around for like a year or so at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Literally in mine and Bianca's first date. She takes my
phone. She puts it on. Yeah. That is so
she
Bianca.
Takes my phone. No, she takes my phone and shares my location with her first date before we even kissed or anything.
That is hilarious. Like, that is so Bianca.
Yeah. Which sounds psychotic, but
you know what,
it came from a good place. But
Carlos was like, yes, get in.
Yeah. But and yeah, I do have like a couple of my friends on it. And like family and that, I think that's the main thing as well, particularly with Mayanka's family. It is really useful having each other on there, like knowing when someone's in the house, like, because I think I'd rather do that than like call up, to be honest. Like, I'd rather like just check that, like, okay, someone's there, like I can go around kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? But I get why some people would be inclined not to have it. I piss, and I do also kind of like being nosy.
Like, see, this is why no one needs to be nosy in my business. I'm extremely like averse to being watched. And I think it's like my older sister, hyper independent, like sensibilities where I just don't like people watching me. Yeah, I just don't like to be watched. I don't like to be surveilled. Mm. It feels like almost too close to like micromanaging.
Yeah.
You know?
But then what are you doing? What is it that you're
like? Literally nothing. But
yeah,
I don't
like
people.
Just be healed green.
At home. Genuinely, I am posted at home on my back room, living room sofa, to be precise. But I don't want people to know that.
Fair enough. But yeah, Simran's not here, but I'm sure.
We are.
Yeah, we'll still have a good time. Happy Easter bank holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it makes any difference for yourself at the moment. Let's get straight into the negative stuff with some bad vibes island. I think you could probably guess, if I was going to ask you one thing that to do with the UK that's happened in the past couple of days that we can talk about.
Oh, the ruling.
Yeah. This week, the UK Supreme Court ruled that a woman is defined by biological sex under equalities law. The dispute is centered around whether or not somebody with a gender recognition certificate, i.e. saying like what gender they are, whether that gender should then be taken into account when it comes to the 2010 Equality Act, i.e. if the gender certificate says that you're female or a woman, then you should be treated as a woman under the Act and vice versa for men. It's something that has been arguably unclear ever since the Act was ratified back in 2010. So this week, the UK Supreme Court ruled that a woman is defined by biological sex under equalities law, i.e. those born female. So a gender recognition certificate will not change a person's legal sex for the purposes of the Equality Act. The immediate implications of this are that transgender women can no longer sit on public boards in places set aside for women. The other ways in which it can potentially impact transgender women, which are yet to be seen as to whether it does, include the way trans people use single-sex spaces, for example, toilets, hospital wards, refuge spaces, as well as policymaking on gender in sports, and also trans women benefiting from equal pay and sex discrimination rights. I think it just, again, goes straight back to this thing of, like, people obsessing over less than 1% of the population.
Yeah. I think it's obviously it's a sign of like rising fascism. Like that's what people always say. Like there are certain signs, right? And this kind of over obsession, this fear-mongering within the general public, these scare tactics, this villainizing, like this bogey, kind of creating this bogeyman figure. I think a lot of times people will point to as like a sign of like rising fascism. I guess it's a way to like distract people, to give them a common enemy. I think it actually serves a more deeper and sinister political objective than actually just being genuinely concerned about the categorization of like sex and gender in society for a good purpose.
I mean, the main argument that surrounds this, or the reason why people have been lobbying for this to take place, has revolved around questions of safety, right? But to me, it just seems to be like the same record playing over and over again. And to go with your point before of like how like it seems to be the rise of fascism, it's a reiterated thing, right? Because we've spoken about this already like multiple times this year, so clearly it's being like broadcast a lot. First of all, less than 1% of the population. So
if they all decided to like pick up arms and be like, we declare war on the cisgender community, like they still wouldn't touch us, just numerically.
Exactly. That's even to say if there was any kind of
argument's sake, what you lot think.
Furthermore, like in these like kind of spaces such as hospital wards, refuge areas, for example, these are spaces where, like, it's the most vulnerable people. The people are the most vulnerable, right? Mm. When they're ill or when they're seeking help from certain kinds of often, like, violent situations.
Right.
This is why where they're at.
And it's sad that in their state that they can't be met with, like, basic human compassion as well.
Exactly.
To understand, like, if you're at a point where you're in a hospital, there must be something that's not right with you. Like, you must be hurting or going through something. Like even in a hypothetical situation like that, there's no ounce of this conversation where there's been any kind of extending of human sympathy onto these people.
Exactly. It's like from their perspective, obviously they're going to be ill or they're going to be not okay if they're a refuge area, most likely. But then from the cis people's perspective as well, that are like actually for banning trans people from these spaces. But why do you perceive these people as a threat, right? Because like if they're at this most vulnerable state, I think the last thing on their mind is going to be like doing anything to do with you.
I think anyone who approaches this topic from the perspective of like human compassion and sympathy will have heard testimony after testimony after testimony on how difficult and traumatic the lives of trans people are in kind of accessing just basic everyday human rights, you know, the right to be out in the world, the right to education, to healthcare, to housing, just all of these things. And I think the people who take the stances where they are villainizing these people and they're kind of making them out to be these bogeymen, I don't think they've probably never actually heard a proper testimony.
Or met.
Do you know what I mean? Like they've probably never sat down and like earnestly engaged in any conversation with just regular trans folk to kind of really understand what their experiences are. Because I can't imagine someone sitting there and listening to a trans person talk about, you know, something deeply traumatic, and then their response is just kind of being like, yeah, well, you're evil and we need to ban you from these spaces. Like,
it is,
which I guess is to me means that it's very important to hear trans stories. Like, it's really, really important to hear. And I get like for trans people that can be traumatic to even talk about or testify to, but I do feel like to some degree, like, it's really important that we make spaces for those stories so that people can actually understand, like, beyond the caricature that the media and the political class present, and to be like what they are and what their inner lives are and the experiences that they have as trans people.
Yeah. So go back to your point on compassion as well. Mm. Obviously the whole argument here, particularly when it comes to single sex toilets, is that cis women don't want to feel unsafe in those type of spaces. They want to be safe from predatory men. And to them, they see trans women as falling into that predatory man category. And regardless of their thoughts there, if you're like ousting trans women from this space as well, where are they meant to go? Right. Then straight back into the men's bathroom with those predatory men, which supposedly these whole rules are meant to be protecting people from.
Right.
So again, it just doesn't seem like there's
Do you know what I have seen? Okay, I'm not an expert in this because I'm not a trans person. So obviously take everything I say with a pinch of salt. But I have actually seen a lot of trans people talking about how they don't necessarily want to be classified as a biological woman. Like, they say, we're not cis women, we are trans women, you know? And I wonder whether it's worth it to kind of make those categories. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe it's not so rigid where it's like woman and man. And maybe we do open up and we make spaces for kind of divergent expressions of gender from the kind of established norms. I think what it is it's just from a place of acceptance. I think it's not trying to be like, okay, we have to have the systems that we do and we have to either squeeze them into it or like oust them from it. You know, maybe it has to be from a place of kind of like imagination and be like, okay, do you know what? How can we fit these communities into our kind of like, you know, nomenclature of gender and sex in a way that honors their identities, but also doesn't necessarily commit to rigid categories of gender?
In any circumstance, these are the thoughts that should be taking place before making any kind of decision.
That's what I mean. Like, there's so many conversations that can be had. There are so many organizations that they can consult with to really understand what it is that trans people want and need and what would, you know, make them feel safe and human, have a human experience.
Yeah. I think also a lot of particularly cis women that are celebrating this decision don't actually understand that it's going to come back to bite them. Because, okay, so single-sex spaces such as toilets are going to be exclusively for either men or female as assigned at birth. How are you going to police that?
Literally. Yeah.
Like,
we'll be getting our bits out.
Exactly.
And you're going to have a security guard in like every toilet doorway.
It's already been a thing in multiple instances of cis women in particular being accused, particularly like say butch
women
lesbians,
women
of color, butch lesbians who don't conform to the Western ideal of what a woman should look like. They're being questioned like, why are you in here? Like, or should you be in here? This sort of thing. That's only going to get worse.
We've seen so many high profile cases of this happening, and the thing is that the society and the global society at large does have a kind of very rigid understanding of what it is to be a woman. And any outlier, so any woman with higher testosterone, with PCOS, with there could be anything that could make a woman maybe slightly more androgynous. And anyone who kind of is an outlier in that sense has been ousted from the category of womanhood. And I think what this is going to do is it's going to make those definitions and those parameters of womanhood even more and more narrow and even stricter.
Yeah. So you think that you're actually protecting yourself, when in reality you're kind of pushing things into more and more conforming to these norms and stereotypes of what a man or woman should be. It is very much going back in every sense. I think as well, I've seen that British Transport Police came out and they said in the interim period in light of this announcement that trans women in British Transport Police custody will now be strip searched by male officers, not female.
Oh, that's a bit grim.
And it's like, first of all, like,
who asked you?
First of all, who asked you? Second of all, like, horrible for trans
people are rushing. Yeah, like, people are rushing to declare their, like, you know,
I like horrible for trans women to like go through if that were to happen with them. But also, how are these police officers going to decide without seeing the bits, which is part of the strip search anyway?
How are
you going to decide whether or not which police officer is going to do strip search on which person?
Oh, it's such a slippery slope.
Yeah, because if anything, it then gives them police further powers to like potentially go about things with malintent and literally potentially sexual assault. Like, say, I presumed you were a trans woman, so
because male police officers are so trustworthy, right? Like,
exactly.
None of them will pretend that, you know, a woman might potentially be trans in order to get her naked, of course.
Yeah,
we totally trust that from the police, absolutely.
I just don't understand, because to my understanding as well, it's not an easy feat to get a gender recognition certificate. So for someone that has gone through all the effort to do that, surely that should just be respected. Yeah, I don't see how it was ever going to lead to any issues. Like, they've said that if sex did not only mean biological sex in the Equality Act, providers of single-sex spaces, including changing rooms, homeless hospitals, and medical services, would face practical difficulties. It's just like, what difficulties? Just let people decide. Do you know what I mean? like, again, these people in the most vulnerable situations. Also, I think we forgot to mention transgender men. So are you telling me that all these cis women are going to feel more comfortable now with a load of trans men walking around the changing rooms that a lot of the time, like, look very much like masculine, the act masculine, because
that's how
they lie.
It just doesn't
make sense to me. And they've said, Lord Hodge, who I think was the main judge behind this, has stressed that trans people are still going to be protected by the Equality Act from discrimination and harassment. But it's kind of like, well, how? Like, we're still waiting to see, like, exactly how.
In none of this conversation have you spoken about, like, okay, cool, how are we going to, like, as a society and, like, you know, in politics, how are we going to protect these people? The whole conversation has been, like, how are we going to take something away from them that they've actually spent decades lobbying for?
Yeah, and it is a reversion. Like, I know, obviously, it was unclear for the past, like, 15 years with this act as to what it meant. But in that time, I think gender recognition certificates have been treated as an indication of how certain services are allocated. Mm. And it's been working fine. Like, look, if this was a really big issue, we would have heard. Like, you're telling me that the British media wouldn't have jumped on every instance of, like, oh, a trans person has done blah 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 because they were in a single sex space that was meant for this person.
And like, I've never heard that. You never hear that.
That's not to say, obviously, if someone can go fact check and maybe find something, I don't know. But the point is, it's
not saying that it's not happened, but I'm saying it's not a pressing issue the way that the media present it to be. Like, it's not
enough for it to
it's not an overwhelming safety concern where every week we're hearing of, like, a trans person assaulting a cisgender person and having taken advantage of, like, a single sex space. It's just it doesn't matter.
It does just feel like I said, the fact that we're only in April and we've already, like, talking about trans rights a couple of times this year, it does just feel like things are moving backwards rather than forwards. And I think we've seen a lot of commentary on this that said, again, in a similar realm to with, for example, Shumima Begum, how removing her British citizenship as a British person sets a dangerous precedent. So does this, because if they can reverse the rights of one group, what does that then mean for others?
Many others, exactly. Often, and this is what people do not understand, right? Which is that oftentimes how the most vulnerable in our society are treated is an experiment, is a precursor to the kind of oppressive policies that a government and a state will kind of eventually roll out to the more general public. You know, and it's incumbent on us, like, to protect the liberties of the most vulnerable, because if their liberties are protected, so will ours. And I don't mean that from, like, let's do it from a completely selfish perspective, but for a lot of people who are kind of thinking about what it means for them, that is what it means for you.
Yeah, you know? I think as well, I think in this realm as well, the people probably at most risk are women's rights. Mm. Like, I think if they're able to repeal trans rights, I wouldn't be surprised if the next thing is anything regarding
reproductive
reproductive rights. Yeah,
I just always think, like, as long as the most vulnerable in our society are protected, then we're all protected, you know.
So, yeah, solidarity with all trans people. Sorry about this, and just know that,
sorry about this.
Yeah, no, like, what can you say?
Sorry for this.
Yeah, just know we continue to see you for who you are and respect you. And if it was up to us, this would not be.
God, if things were up to us, a lot of things wouldn't be the way they are. Let me tell you that. So, God. I think also, do you know what it is? Like, I was thinking this, I just completely forgot to say it, sorry. But I think as well, you know, personally, a lot of people who are up in arms about the trans community, obviously there's a part of it where it's because the media and ruling class have presented them as, like, a scapegoat, bogeyman or whatever. But I think also on, like, a human level, like, on individual levels, I think a lot of people are kind of, like, threatened by trans people's audacity to live and perform their gender in the way that they see fit, because gender is ultimately an oppressive force, you know. And I say that to say that all gender is a performance, and in a lot of ways, the performance of gender does oppress a lot of people. You know, the fact that I've had to wake up 40 minutes earlier today to put makeup on so that I can come and record this episode, that's an example of, like, gender being oppressive. And of course, it's like I'm choosing to participate in that, but to some degree, there's also a level of, like, coercion living in the society that we live in, you know? So I think a lot of people who perform gender in a way where is not necessarily convenient for them, or they don't like it, or just whatever, you know, and they can't hold that mirror up to themselves and kind of accept that gender doesn't have to be what's enforced to them and they get to choose. I think some level of that is projected onto the fact that trans people do get to decide that for themselves, you know?
And I've seen so much as well about trans people being asked about what's happened over the past week, and they're honestly like you said before, like,
yeah, they're not
like,
trying to take over the world, they just want basic human rights. That's the conversation we're having. We're not giving them anything excessive. We're not saying that you lot are entitled to £500 a week and special this and special that. It's literally just basic human rights.
Yeah, I think they've said that they don't really care about the definition or whatever, they just want to be able to live their life. Like,
right, this is exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, like Carlos said, solidarity.
Yeah, so moving on to beyond Bad Vibes Island. The other thing that's been trending this week in the news, lost stuff.
Oh my God. What is that about? You're going to have to explain that to me, because I don't know if I'm not getting it or if there's nothing to get and it's just as silly as what it is.
I think the latter.
Right.
So for context, earlier this week, the first all-women trip to space took place. And this was under Blue Origin, which is owned by Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, for those who don't know, i.e. one of the richest people in the world. The crew on said mission included his fiance, Lauren Sanchez, as well as some other female celebrities. I think the most famous of whom, probably Katy Perry. Everyone knows who Katy Perry is. Yeah, so random from the get-go.
It's so silly. Have you seen the photo of her after they've landed and she starts kissing the land?
Yeah.
I thought in the... Sorry, go on, tell the story.
Yeah, so... When I think this was came together, I think Lauren Sanchez, the fiance of Jeff Bezos, I think she was one of the main instigators behind it. Right. And she was like, this is going to be a mission that will challenge the perspectives of Earth, empower them to share their own stories and create lasting impact that will inspire generations to come.
Now, who said? Who said? Why are you lying? Why are you lying? Now, inspire who for what?
I think this is just such a good example of like kind of like girl boss feminism.
Oh my God.
Because if this is such a massive feminist movement, right?
Why is it only the super rich people?
Yeah, exactly. Not even just the super rich, but also no, like the, out of the like, I think six or seven that went up, only one of them is like NASA trained, involved in like space. Blah, blah, blah. There's got to be so many female astronauts out there who train ridiculously hard and are so passionate about this, right?
Right.
Why were they not?
Why were the celebrities? Oh, yeah.
Surely if there's going to be, this is the first all-female mission up to space, surely the people that are actually involved in, like,
in
space,
the
in the industry, should be the ones to go up. And secondly, if this is such a massive thing, why were they only there for like 10 minutes?
Right. So this is the thing that I was going to say. So obviously I'm kind of like seeing reportings about it and I'm like, oh my God, wow. Like these lot are doing a full on like space mission. That's crazy. So it's been like days, weeks of like build up.
Yeah.
And then, okay, the day that they've gone, I've seen that, okay, they've gone. And then I'm like, oh, they're back. Immediately, they're back.
Refresh the news page.
Literally, like, one swipe of my TL and now they're back.
Yeah.
And, like, Katy Perry's, like, kissing the land. I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
What? So what, like, I have a really many, many things to say about this. I have many, sorry, is there, you want to cover the story or can I?
And I think that's it, basically. It's just obviously.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's silly.
They broke the Earth's atmosphere for, like, 4 minutes and then came back down again. That's it.
It's so fucking stupid. Oh my fucking days. It's so dumb. What the... Oh my God. How much did that cost?
So I can't say that much in terms of how much the actual mission cost in itself. Obviously, it's going to cost less than proper space missions because it's literally lasted for like 10 minutes.
Mm.
But what I can say is in regards to a place on the ship, a seat on... this particular spacecraft's maiden voyage in 2021 auctioned for $28 million.
For God's sake.
To give context, Blue Origin's competitor, Virgin Galactic, they've publicly offered rides at a cost between $200,000 and $450,000. So it's we don't know ultimately how much a seat on this costs. I'm certain to say it's excessive. And we do know that some of the celebrities that were on this flight have paid to be there.
And also, like, it's not just the cost of going up, it's like the cost of building that spaceship and all the resources and material. And
exactly. Like that's why I was trying to find the line I couldn't find.
Yeah, like it's not just a case of like, oh, okay, it's like a 10 minute, or you're 10 minutes up there, but it's like probably months, but maybe even years of beforehand of like trying to build the machine that's going to take you up there. It's a flipping rocket.
Also the environmental impact.
Right. So my point is that like, there is such, I don't understand this trade-off. I don't understand. Like, we are literally in a global cost of living crisis. And you lot are paying all of this money and spending all of this money to go up for 10 minutes to do what? Right? And this is the crux of the issue. What the fuck are you lot doing out there? What business do you have in space? God gave you an earth. God gave you a home. God made it hospitable for you. God give you everything, every single resources that you need, God give you. Still, you want more. It's crazy to me. What are you looking out for? What are you looking for in space that you're not going to get on this earth? I don't understand.
No.
I don't. I'm sorry. Like, all of this deep sea exploration, space exploration, for what? For who?
Well, this is the thing. I get what you're saying. But at the same time, I could understand maybe the experts in these fields.
Right, for educational purposes, for, exactly, fine.
For educational purposes, they want to go. But what's with this new trend of celebrities?
They're practicing yeeting these rich people off the earth when the earth collapses. That's what this is, in my opinion. Like, that's what they're practicing.
Yeah, but what's the point? It's going to come back down in 2 minutes anyway.
Fuck knows. They're doing some kind of aptitude test or something, because I don't believe you spent all this resources just to be in space for 4 minutes to say that you've done it.
Well, feminism, Halima, obviously.
For fuck's sake.
But again, to go back to the environmental impact as well. So the environmental impact, Blue Origin, they've said that the launch emits only water vapor and no carbon, which, first of all, water vapor in itself is actually a greenhouse gas, and it's not meant to be in the upper layers of the atmosphere anyway, so that point is irrelevant. But second of all, that's just not true, that this won't have emitted any carbon, because anything that combusts at that higher temperature converts nitrogen that's already in the air into nitrogen oxide gases, which can then damage the ozone layer.
Oh, Carlos, a scientist today.
Yeah. And because it's going so high up as well, obviously once you get beyond the clouds and everything, there's no weather change. Mm. And often that weather is what's needed to kind of bring the pollution back down to earth. As bad as that sounds, like bring it back down to earth. But because there's no weather to bring it down, it's stuck up there and obviously further damages the ozone layer.
God. I love it. The earth is dying. People are dying. And this is what the rich and able decide to do.
It's just so hilariously
out of touch.
Yeah. For all the celebrities kind of seeing it as like a wow moment, and this is, we're doing it for the girls kind of thing. It's like, you're damaging the planet.
Yeah, and
wasting
which girls?
Resources for the girls.
Which
great.
Girls? What about the girls that can't eat? The girls that can't afford period pads? The girls that are in poverty? Like, hello, what about them?
Yeah. And it's like, look, I get that also because it's so ridiculous, there's a certain level of humor can come from this. Say, and like, I've seen people saying, like, as well, like, I think Radio 1 did a thing where they're like, oh, like, if there was a UK version, who would have gone up to space? Because it is so ridiculous in itself.
It's absurd. You have to laugh.
You have to laugh. But at the same time, like,
not funny, is it?
Yeah, you know that meme, but it's not really funny, though, is it?
It's quite like, serious.
Out of touch. Yeah, like, there's not really much more to say.
I think it's covering something. I'm so sorry if this is like conspiracy theory territory, but I really think it's, There's something going on. There's something going on here, and I don't trust it.
It's so ironic that in the process of them preparing supposedly for the Earth's demise, they're actually contributing towards it.
Literally.
So for no. It pisses me off. Like,
I could tell. Carlos is literally just successive sigh after sigh after sigh.
It's more as well, I'm thinking that this probably will become more of an inaccessible. It will. It's going to also become more of an accessible thing over the next 20, 30 years. And it's also going to be, again, the richer people in society just doing it for the fun of it whilst damaging the earth.
No, I literally saw, as soon as Katy Perry came back, I can't remember. I think it was a Young Thug. Like, he's now going up.
Why? For what?
But this is what I mean. I really think it's like celebrities and like rich people preparing.
But I also think it's such a level of audacity. Like, you know, when we spoke about the submarine, like, in the same way, like, there's only been...
That's what I said, deep sea and space. I'm like, mm-mm.
There's only been a certain number of actual voyages to space in the history of time. Like,
right.
I think maybe a couple of hundred, I want to say.
Right,
like,
right.
If that.
Right.
And a few of them have ended very badly.
Yeah.
So, like, why do you want to risk that?
Yeah,
like, for what? Just to, like, look at the Earth. You can just literally, like, look on Google. This is what... I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you lot need to accept the portion that God gives you. Like, stop it.
So, right. Final thing to discuss this week. Something that was trending on socials that my sister actually saw as well and mentioned it yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it. It's this TikTok of, I think, a girl in India, and she's chatting about tourists, basically. Basically about the topic of white people going to countries like India, and basically what they keep doing is traveling on a budget when they don't need to.
Oh, okay, fair.
So basically, there's this trend that's been going on for a while, but now it's documented through, like, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, where white people will go to countries like India and will live on an excessive budget for no reason. Like, they'll use the most unsanitary places, they'll, like, live, like, in the worst, like, kind of hostels, all of that. Like, often in conditions that are worse than even the underprivileged people in India.
Yeah.
And will, like, basically force themselves to live in those situations. To then to then record it for poverty porn and then post about it online and say about
India is so poor, meanwhile you're in a slum. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you've chosen to go to a slum.
They'll either do it in the guise of, like, speaking about the living conditions in countries like India, or they'll do it literally from the place of, like, this is such a shit tip. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, who told you to go? Who invited you? Did Modi invite you? No, exactly. He didn't. Like, why are you there?
Which obviously then posting that just helps further embolden, like, further racism and stereotypes towards South Asians as a whole.
Which is exactly, we've seen a spike in very, very recently. Yeah. It's so funny. I was going to say this, like, very separately about another creator that I've seen recently. There have been an influx, sorry to make out about Bangladesh, but not sorry at the same time.
No, go for it.
There's been an influx of, like, travel creators going to Bangladesh recently, and there's one guy who I absolutely love his content. He's like an Egyptian man, and then he went and he's in Bangladesh now, and his documentation is just very somehow, you know. I think just in general the way that a lot of travel vloggers and even those not necessarily from the West, but just maybe, like, slightly higher up in the hierarchy than, you know, South Asian countries, the way they kind of, like, document life there, it's just very patronizing, it's very paternalistic, and it's like you've like obviously gone there to show people, like, look at these barbarians and look at how they live and look how awful life is here and look at how they have to do this and look at how they have to do that, and it's so unbelievable and it's so bad and and it's like, who the fuck invited you? If you're there and you only are having a bad experience and you only have bad things to say, like, who the fuck put a gun to your head and told you go there? Like, you've gone there willingly.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think there is a malicious element to it where these people have gone there with the sole purpose of, like, right, we know that poverty exists here. Let's go and find it and record it.
To sensationalize it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, they're feeding off of these stereotypes. That's what they're doing.
It's like, literally, there is poverty everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Go, like, on the streets of the UK, you find plenty of homeless
people. That's what I'm saying. These people are intentionally going to, like, slums, or they're going to, like, certain parts of certain cities that, okay, may not be so developed or whatever. And then they're being like, oh my God, look at this absolutely shining representation of this entire country of a billion plus people. Mm. And I'm like, right, okay. Sure. Great representative sample you have there, fucking idiot.
And it is literally just getting worse, because obviously everything for now, with the rise of, like, documentation online, like short form content, video and all of that, like, and it's all about grabbing people's attention and making them, like, stay. So obviously they're going to just try and find the thing that actually makes people, like, stay watching, which a lot of the time is going to be extreme situations.
That's exactly the word that I was going to use. I think a lot of the times these people rely on invoking extreme reactions. And for places like, you know, India and Bangladesh, for example, maybe where the global reputation isn't so great, the easiest extreme reaction that people can gauge from the general kind of viewers is, like, disgust or, you know, being patronising or whatever, and I think that's what they do, that's what they rely on.
If you want an example of a tourist that's gone to a South Asian country and has shown you how you're meant to do it, look at Anaya. She got stuck there, but she was having a great time.
She was. I've seen a lot of like, you know, Western travel vloggers that have gone to like Bangladesh, and they've been so lovely and respectful and really, really shown the country in a really, you know, good light. But then obviously equally there are some that I'm like, just like, get out my country, bro, get out.
And like I say, I think it's clear that they've gone there with the sole purpose.
Because you
could go to any country in the world with a bad intention and find something bad to record.
Absolutely.
It's just because obviously these stereotypes are already in people's heads that it just clicks straight away. Right. So stop doing that. And also, again, the person in this TikTok made the point, like, just enjoy yourself, because you can actually go to countries like India, Bangladesh, and actually have a nice time. Because the cost of living there is actually so much cheaper than here anyway. Right. So you can go and have like really nice food, do some really nice things.
Have a nice holiday. To the developed area, stay in a flipping 5-star hotel. You probably could afford it over there, you know?
Yeah.
Sigh.
Eye roll. To round things off today's silver lining, I thought we could talk about what you're up to at the moment, even though it's making you really tired.
I'm so tired because
what's going on in Halima?
I am sister of the bride right now. And if anyone comes from like a Desi culture, you know exactly, just by that label, what I'm saying, what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed you're here, to be honest.
It's because I knew it was going to be short. I was like, okay, let me pop in. Mm-hmm. But I'm so knackered. My sister's getting married, guys. And you know what's crazy? It's like, it's not even the wedding. It's not even the wedding. She's only doing her nikah. Her like Islamic ceremony. It's tomorrow, inshallah. And she had like her mini mendi at home yesterday. See, the thing with my family is, you know, you lot, like you like hire external decorators and caterers and everything. My family is DIY and it's by choice. It's genuinely by choice, because it's not like we're not trying to save costs. Or there's not even none of that thinking.
Not strategic.
That's not strategic in any way. It's genuinely because they just love to do it. Like, they love to do it. And because of that, now I have to suffer. Because of that, I have to go home and make like 100 dessert cups now. Literally right now, after we finish, I've got to do that. Because my sister decided to do all her DIY, decor, food, everything. And obviously, like, we're a very close knit family. Everyone's helping out. But actually, do you know what? It is amazing. I do love it. Obviously, like, it's my little sister, so it's very emotional for me. And it's just nice. Like, the family have come together. Like, my house right now is, you know, the wedding house. Like, there's so many people. I think last night about 20 odd people like staying over at my house. So it's good. It's nice. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's obviously exhausting for you, but at the same time, it's like,
it's so enjoyable.
And like, you look back on it, like,
yeah, absolutely. No. I'm so, like, I've been so excited for it, because I'm so close with my family anyway. I love spending time with my family anyway, and it's just kind of like back to back. Like, it's just like, I love wedding times. You know, like, I love having a close family wedding, because it's just so much fun. So that's what I'm busy doing, guys.
At what point does she leave the family home?
After her like big wedding next year.
Oh, okay, so you got a bit more time.
Yeah, what do you guys call it? Like Ruksati, Bidai, like
Doli.
Okay, yeah. So after that, after the big wedding next year, that's when she'll leave. So she's still at home, but she'll be like Islamically married to her man's.
Very exciting. And a positive way to end today's episode.
It is. Oh wait, guys. Sorry, update. People are starting to leave me alone now. You know, because the last time I first spoke about my sister's wedding, everyone was like,
oh, okay.
People, just for an update for the viewers who are like deeply invested, my family have now actually started to weirdly leave me alone.
They're giving up.
I think they're like, they're like, through this, I think they're just, everyone's so busy, they're not really having time to like look at me and like pity me. But when the first few events of like the wedding stuff, everyone was like, I could see they've all got one eye on me, thinking like, oh my God, like this poor girl. And now, thankfully, I just think they're that busy that they're just not paying any attention to me. So that's a real silver lining here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Bye, goodbye, everyone.